Church family, you'll be aware that we're in a series looking, the shorthand way is just saying, what sort of church does God want us to be? And we're in a little mini series about what it is to be led by the Holy Spirit. And, from time to time, we're going to do this again this morning. We begin to say, well, how does that make itself felt in somebody's actual lived experience? And so we find somebody who's willing to have a conversation with us about it. And this morning, I'm delighted to say Amelia Fuller is going to come up and join me on stage. And we're going to have a conversation about what that looks like in her life. Not because every life needs to look like that, but so that you can begin to get the resonances of how God might be leading you and speaking to you. Let's welcome Amelia up to the stage, shall we? That's always nice to sit down for one of these. Is this okay for the cameras? Yeah, it is. That's fine. Good. Oh, no, that's too far back. Sorry. Parkinson, I am not. Anyway, Amelia, it's great to have you up on the stage. Many church family members will know you, but perhaps not everybody will. So tell us a little bit. How long have you been part of the church family here?
This time, about 2 years. Two and a half years, maybe.
Mm-hmm. So this time suggests there's a bit of a backstory.
Yeah, I actually first came to Christchurch as a teenager to Meeting Point, still got the same name, the youth group. So much like Joseph, I came to know Jesus here at Christchurch. Yeah, it's a long time ago. Silas Crawley was the youth pastor at the time.
The wonderful Silas Crawley. Fantastic. Yeah. What a great name to revere and to honor. And it was lovely, wasn't it, listening to Joseph talking about how part of his experience of being led by the Spirit and encountering more of what it is to find Jesus and follow him wholeheartedly came in community, the community that still bears the wonderful name, Meeting Point. So, Amelia, just tell us, if you will, what was your first, what we could call your first known experience of the Holy Spirit, where you really understood that this was the Holy Spirit speaking to you or leading you?
Very good question. It was actually here at Christchurch, again, at Meeting Point. It's actually on one of our weeks away, like they did residentials. I think it was in the summer one, actually. That week, it was a really marking week, I think, for a lot of people, actually. There were some people who got physically healed at the start of the week, which kind of blew my mind because I didn't know that that could happen as a teenager. And then they were talking a lot about the Holy Spirit, and I was like, okay, I don't know who that is. And then one evening they just kind of made the offer, like, if anyone wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we'd love to pray for you. And I just had that, you know, when your heart just goes, beats that little bit faster, I was like, oh, I think that's me. And I went and someone prayed for me, and I just felt this incredible peace like I'd never felt before. Like it's indescribable, you know, you know, it's that peace that surpasses understanding. That is what I felt.
That's so helpful, because when we read passages like Elliot just read to us, and they're all over the New Testament, and we read that in this case, Peter and John, two of the early leaders of the church in Jerusalem, and actually they carried on leading that church. And it just says, filled with the Holy Spirit, they did this. And I don't know about you, but I've often wanted to say, I'd love to get Peter and John aside and say, but how did it happen? What did it feel like? So it's really helpful, you sharing that experience. And we know that there are other ways in which people experience the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, as you said, physically, either by a beating of a heart or maybe a sense of slight shaking. But so often it is that sense of deep, deep peace.
Can I just share something else about that week? Because something else that's really significant, because a lot of people encounter God through the Bible, and I really encountered God through the Bible that week as well. I remember, like, when I first started coming to church, and I'd always had, like, a knowledge of God and believed he existed, but didn't have that personal relationship. And that week, someone shared a verse with me in John 15, where it says, "For you didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go bear fruit." And that was a massive revelation to me, because I thought it was me doing the choosing. Like, I was the one choosing God. And I just, like, was completely floored in that moment. Well, oh God, wow, you chose me first. Like, yeah. And that, I think, actually set me up to be open to more.
That's really, really helpful. We say a lot here that the initiative is always God's. And, you know, if you're sitting there this morning and this is all new or slightly strange, Jesus has done all the heavy lifting. That's the good news. Jesus has done everything that you need. And your response only needs to be receiving that. It's never about what we must do. It's never about what we could have done but failed to do. It's never about what we should do in the future. It's always about what Jesus has already done. And so that sense of God taking initiative, God choosing. And I meet so many people who just don't feel, I don't know whether this is a word, but they just don't feel very choosable. They don't feel very choosable. They don't feel very lovable. But the fact is that Jesus chooses and loves everyone, and we simply need to respond. So let's dig a little bit deeper, Emilia. Whenever I talk to people who have experience of the Holy Spirit leading them and seem to have a sense of what it is for God to speak to them by the Holy Spirit, I think over the years what I've discovered is it's easily as much about mindset as about skill set. Let me just explain why I'm going to ask that question, then Emilia can respond to it. I think all too often we think that the spiritual disciplines are really, really difficult skills that we have to get first before we can experience. And actually, it's the other way around. The most important thing is not the skill set that may follow. The key thing is the mindset with which we begin. It's about hunger and desire. So, Emilia, can I just ask you to talk a little bit about how that, you know, how you've grown your desire, how that intentionality has played out in your own heart? What's been your mindset, having had that initial experience?
One would be of feeling like I don't know anything, so finding people who know more than me. So finding mentors. I remember, I mean, something that I experienced at Meeting Point was our leaders were really involved in our lives, that they'd spend time with us, and I just felt, you know, they taught me a lot. But then when I went to university, the student work at my church asked if anyone, they asked all the students if anyone wanted a mentor, and I was the only one who volunteered as tribute. And so out of that, I ended up getting three different mentors, which was amazing. And they all taught me different things. So, one of the ladies I met with, just older lady, amazing woman called Mari, she, would meet with me once a month and pray with me, but then she encouraged me to come. She ran this little meeting, much like Encounter, actually. It was on a Monday night, and we met in the upper room of the church. So it was called Upper Room, the meeting. We'd just sit and listen to God for an hour and just see what he had to say. And that's all we did. And so she taught me, just to sit and wait on the presence of God. And then I had another lady who she asked me what I felt. She'd always ask me, what do you feel like God's saying? And she'd kind of challenged me and helped me kind of unpick things that I was reading in the Bible and pictures I felt like I was having. She'd help me to understand them. And she took me along to, I don't know, some of you may have heard him. There's a guy called Graham Cook, and he now lives in America, but he used to live in England. He did these schools of prophecy. So he was teaching on prophecy. So she took me along to that, so I could learn about it that way. And then I had another lady called Nikki who just took me under her wing, and she was like, tell me about your dreams. Like, tell me about the dreams you have. I can see that you have dreams. Tell me about them. And she helped me to start to understand the dreams I was having at night and understand how God might be speaking to me in them. So that was one way, you know, and that's continued on. Yeah. Everywhere I've gone since then, I've always sought out people who knew more than me. Because I think, you know, we never stop learning and you never know everything. Even now, I still feel like a complete beginner. But I know more than when I first started.
Yep.
So that's one way.
And just to encourage us all, you know, we can all do this. Most of us will have maybe a profession that we're following. Maybe we'll have hobbies. We'll have sports. We'll have whatever it is. And we don't think twice about saying to somebody, you know, I love playing tennis. Why wouldn't I get some coaching? well, clearly you've not seen me play. If you'd seen me play, you'd be saying, yes, Paul, why on earth wouldn't you get some coaching? And whatever we're doing, if we're in a workplace, we find somebody who's maybe got more experience and we say to them, okay, I'm struggling with this bit of the job. Could you help me? And we put a great emphasis for our children on school. We keep on learning through life. And the spiritual journey can be exactly the same. And all of us can look to somebody who's just, maybe we see something and we say, could you just tell me a little bit about that? I'd love, would you mind going out? I'll take you out for coffee. And could you just tell me a little bit about this? So it's an encouragement. Emilia, just want to come back to the dreams,
yeah.
If I can. Because about 15 years ago, you had quite a significant dream that actually, as I would interpret it, it seems that this was a dream that was possible because of the mindset that you developed of wanting more, to put it that way.
Yeah.
Do you mind telling us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, as I've said, I dream a lot most nights, actually, and God speaks to me a lot through my dreams. That's, I'd say, one of the primary ways I hear the voice of God. But I had a series of dreams that really marked me, and even now, like, I could close my eyes and go straight back into them. Like, that's how much they marked me. And one of them was really significant. In the dream, I was on the side of a mountain, and in the side of the mountain was carved a throne. And on the throne were three goblets of wine. And I heard a voice tell me that I had to choose to drink from one of them, and it would define a lot of my life moving forward. And I instinctively knew that each goblet represented a different part of the Godhead. One was the Father, one was the Son, and one was the Holy Spirit. And in the dream, I stood there for quite some time. Who knows how long it was. But in the dream, I stood there for quite some time and just really debated, like, which one to go for. I was like, oh, well, you know, Jesus, that would make me an evangelist. Do I want to be an evangelist? I don't know. Like, Holy Spirit, yeah, it's like super prophetic and healing and all of these things. Do I want to do that? The Father's like really pastoral. And then I had this like little moment. I was like, but the Father encapsulates all three. And actually it doesn't matter which one I drink from because I get all three. But I drank from the Father's one, and really moving forward from that, a lot shifted and I became way more, I'd say became way, a lot more pastoral than I'd been before. And really defined a lot the last 15 years, really.
Thank you, Emilia. And again, that is a very individual, distinctive experience. And the last thing either of us want sitting here at the front is for anybody to say, well, because I've never had anything like that, I'm just ruled out. Please, that's just not the case. It doesn't matter whether you've had that similar experience. It doesn't matter whether you never have that experience in dreams. The fact is that God wants to reveal himself to each one of us, and it will be different for each one of us. And the key thing is, what do you want? I really sense that's a key question in all this. What do you want? Do you want more of what God has for you? And I find in my own life, you know, there's a constant recall to humility when I look at somebody and think, well, I mean, I don't think I've ever had a dream like the one Emilia has just spoken about. So I've got a choice as I listen to Emilia and as I encounter her reality. And I could feel, well, you know, why don't I have things like that? But that's not the attitude that's going to help me. The attitude is, Lord, I don't want to be a carbon copy of Emilia, but I do want to be as hungry for your voice as she is.
Can I just say something on that? I got to that place and where I am with my dreams now because I wanted it. And I had someone teach me how to understand my dreams. And equally, they also taught me how to engage with them more. And really practically, they just told me to start writing them down. They're like, when you wake up, first thing you do when you wake up in the morning is write down all, like, what you remember, because you forget really quickly. Mm. Like, you know, there are times now I'm not so good at writing down my dreams, and I'll be halfway through the day and be like, oh, I had a dream. I was meant to do something with that. And then I'm just like sitting there trying to remember it. And so it's like, I found when I started writing them down, I started to remember them more and have more. And then I had something to take with me when I was meeting with this mentor and be like, okay, these are the dreams I've had. Help me understand them.
Yeah. And then you had one particular dream that was about early mornings.
Well, it wasn't a dream. It was just
okay,
a sense.
Sorry. Okay, yeah.
I had the sense that I was meant to get up at 5 every morning and spend time with God, which I'm not a morning person at all. God bless you if you are a morning person, but it takes me a good hour to wake up in the morning. I just had the sense that I was meant to get up at 5 every morning and spend time with God. And there was nothing prescriptive about it. There was nothing specific to pray for. Just get up and do that. So I did that. And in that time, some mornings I didn't feel anything. It was just, I'd just be like, okay, God, I'm here. Hardly awake, but I'm here. And then other mornings I just have a sense of him saying things to me and or asking me questions. And one morning I felt like he asked me, at the time I was living in America, and I felt like he asked me to choose between England and America. And I was like, why would I have to make that choice? That's a weird choice. I'm just here for a couple of years, like short term. And I kept asking God, what, but why? And he kept asking me to make the decision, wouldn't give me the reason why. And after about 3 months, I was like, oh, fine, I'll make a decision. Because he just kept saying, just choose. And I chose America. And then I was like, okay, God, can you tell me now why that I've chosen? He said, yeah, I needed you to know your decision ahead of time, because when you have to make the decision, it's going to be quite difficult for you, and you need to know what your yes and what your no is. And I actually didn't have to make that decision for another 3 years. And in 3 years, I got offered a job, and so I had to make a very quick decision, yes or no. And it was very tough at the time, because my family were like, no, don't do it. Come home. We don't want you to do that. But then God reminded me that I'd already made the decision 3 years prior. He's like, you already know your answer, Amelia. Like, I was praying, I was like, oh, what do I do? And he's like, you know your answer. Mm. Which actually then made it, I mean, it didn't make it easy, but I knew my answer.
And for those of you who are familiar with the Bible, you'll be aware that there are countless examples of this sort of activity of God with his people through the Old Testament, through the New Testament. But also the Bible, the New Testament in particular, encourages to test what we sense God saying. So, and that's really important. We want to be wise, we want to be trusting, and yet we also want to be careful. So what's your practice of testing what the Holy Spirit is saying to you?
Yeah, a few different things. One, I'm accountable to different people in my life. Like, I have mentors and friends. And whenever I sense, especially anything big, God saying, I'll take it to them, and have them help me weigh it, against the Bible is another way. Like, is this in line with God's word? And time. Time is a great tester of words.
Yep.
I'd say those are my three.
That's really, really, really helpful. I think just going back to the, what is a relatively simple thing, which many of us would relate to, just that sense of needing to do something. It might be to pray for somebody. It might be to go somewhere. For Amelia, that nudge of just, you're supposed to get up at 5 a.m. That's a relatively straightforward human choice. You're either going to say, okay, I'll go with this and see what happens, or just let it pass by. And I think in my own experience, I would say that the obedience that we show is a huge part of what God's looking for. And that with something like that, on which not a great deal, the fate of the world doesn't hang on our response to a nudge like that. The fate of our life journey doesn't depend on that. But God is wanting us to be obedient. And I think in areas like that, God delights in our obedience, even if initially or even after a period of time, we're not quite sure why. And so I just encourage you, just those senses, those nudges that you get. Amelia, we need to draw towards a close, and we've decided we're going to finish in a particular way. And it's been clear, we've not used the words, but it's quite clear that for you, this mindset, this experience of following God and seeking just as the Bible says, to plant our footsteps in the footsteps of Jesus, is both a journey and a relationship. Tell us a little bit about what you experience in terms of relationship and journeying with Jesus.
It's a loaded question.
Well, I'll come on to a specific in a moment.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, with any journey, there's challenges, and it's not always straightforward. It doesn't always go the way you want it to go. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, a lot of it for me is including God, you know, Jesus, Holy Spirit in my everyday, and knowing that he's keenly interested in my life. Mm-hmm. Like really keenly interested in even the things that feel insignificant. You know, sometimes we think about God and we think he's only really interested in the really big things, but he's really interested in my everyday, even like, you know, what I'm going to have for lunch or, you know, it is a relationship. Sometimes we think it's like it's just a one way, like we have to just do what God wants us to do, like that we don't have any voice in that. And that's just a bit controlling if that's truly who God is. And it's not who I believe he is. He's, you know, what Jesus did was for us to be able to have that relationship of back and forth. But it doesn't mean it hasn't come without disappointment.
Well, I was going to move on to that, because we're all aware that relationships, have challenges. Relationships go through tough times. And I'm just going to ask Amelia just to draw us towards a close by talking about the tough side of the relationship with and the walk with Jesus, and when disappointment hits, and how you've dealt with that.
Yeah. So I mentioned before about God asking me to choose between England and America. And I ended up living in America for 11 years, which is a good chunk of time. And I honestly believed I would be there for the rest of my life. I truly believe God had called me to America, which is a challenge. When they don't understand your sense of humor. like you say a joke and they just take you literally and you're like, no, that was a joke. So how many years ago now? 5 years ago, I was in a massive visa battle. Some mistakes were made with my paperwork that were, couldn't be recovered, essentially. And I had felt like I had heard God tell me that he would resolve it and it'd be okay. And I got very short notice that I had to move back to England, like about 2 weeks. So, I had to kind of pack up my whole life and say goodbye to the community I'd built, and literally felt like I was losing almost everything, and come back. And I came back here to a place I never thought I'd come back to, very disappointed. And feeling like I hadn't heard God, like I'd missed God. And I realized I completely lost trust with the voice of God. I just questioned, like, actually, God, can I hear you? Even though I have this history, and logically I've got this history, but emotionally I was like, I'm so disappointed. I had to learn how to rebuild trust with hearing the voice of God again. Because sometimes, you know, God, you feel like God speaks a word and then you decide like how he's going to fulfill it. Like you're like, oh, okay. You know, in my mind, God was going to fulfill it by miraculously turning my visa stuff all around. And I, in that moment, like the Israelites, I made a golden calf out of what I thought God had said. And I just completely robbed him of his ability to be God. Because I decided how God was going to fulfill his word. Mm. And so I, you know, had to humble myself and repent of that. But then I had to rebuild trust with hearing the voice of God again. And so I brought it down into my everyday. I just started asking God, like, God, what can I hope for today? I didn't think about next week or next month or next year. I just brought it into my everyday. And I did that for a really long time. Like a really long time, until I was certain that I could trust what I was hearing again. Mm. And then I started to build it up to like, okay, God, what can I trust you for or hope for or believe you for this week? And I did it weekly for a while. Mm. And then when that felt like normal again, I started going monthly. And, you know, and it's been like, it's been 4 years of doing this, honestly. And yeah, but I noticed like my dream life kind of started to pick up again. And, I'm quite creative. I wanted to be creative again. Like that came back. And, but yeah, I had to go through that journey of rebuilding trust.
Thank you. Many of us will have similar experience. I remember many years ago, 2004, being so disappointed in what seemed to be the non-fulfillment of something God had said to me, that my prayer life was crushed to four words for 3 months, and all I could pray through gritted teeth was, "I will trust you." And that went on for 3 long months before God led me out of that.
Can I just add something? I just remembered it. How I'd said, like, you know, I decided how God was going to fulfill that word. Like, after I started rebuilding trust with God, and had that revelation, I'd made this golden calf out of the word. I was like, okay, God, I asked him, how do you want to fulfill it? And he just said to me, he's like, "Amelia, your life's not over. Like, you know, I'm not limited to write, you know, that season might be over, but it doesn't mean that I won't ever take you back. It's just not for right now." And so having to trust him in that is another thing. But sometimes, you know, I just wanted to give the fulfillment of actually when I actually allow God to speak, what, you know, that he had something different.
Thank you, Amelia, so much. We're going to invite the band back in a moment. And my particular sense is one of the things I've loved about chatting with Amelia both before and during this time is that sense of spiritual discipline. And I think that's something that, you know, we can often lose sight of, that this isn't just easy, instant, constantly at the same level. Actually, there's a spiritual discipline involved in pursuing Jesus and following him wholeheartedly and hearing what he has to say to us by his Spirit. So I think one of the things we just want to invite the Holy Spirit to do amongst us is to build hunger and desire, and a hunger for spiritual discipline and for a sense of God saying, okay, if you really desire me, this is what I'd like you to do. And the second thing is really just to pray about that sense of disappointment, which I'm sure some of us here will be carrying. And for those who are new to the church family, we clear the side aisle over here. It's a bit less for some people than coming out the front. If you would like somebody to pray with you, sometimes it can be really helpful to make a physical step. And just to, if you go out into that space, we'll find somebody to come and pray with you, just very quietly, not intrusive, but just to pray for you as you're there. If you know somebody that you trust you're with at the moment, you can ask them, of course, and that can all be covered as we sing God's praises and worship together. But before we do that, let me pray for Amelia, and then she's going to share a specific word. Lovely. Father, we thank you for Amelia, and even though there's been pain in the move back from America, Lord, those of us here as a church family are grateful to you that she's part of our family here. We pray that you'll protect her after sharing her testimony of walking with you today. We pray that she will be used to help others find what it is for them to hear your voice and follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, I actually just had a word for Joseph that I felt like actually I was meant to share publicly for people to hear. And I just saw like the Joseph in the Bible, that how he helps people understand their dreams. I felt like God was saying that you're going to help your friends at university understand their dreams, and it's going to set them free from prisons they've been in for a really long time. And, you know, when you said that, you know, nothing about God is logical, I actually felt like he said that their dreams will be really logical to you, even though they're confusing to them, that he'll make them really logical to you so you can understand them clearly. And just I felt like an encouragement from him for you to just start asking your friends, like, do you ever dream? And see what they say. And I feel like, yeah, God will really use you in that way. Can I just pray for you really quickly before? Yeah, Father, thank you for Joseph. Thank you for the anointing that you have on his life. Father, thank you for his yes to you. And Father, I pray that as he sits around with his friends and they start to share their dreams, and Father, you would give him real clarity on the meaning of them, that he would see them set free, healed, and delivered in a moment. And Father, I just pray that, he would experience a greater measure of your presence in his life. That you would take him to greater depths in you, and you would help him understand your word on a greater level. That he would know that he would never have a friend like you. Yeah, would you be the greatest friend that he's ever had? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Shall we express our appreciation to Amelia and stand to our feet?
Thank you.
Please do stand. We're going to draw our gathering to a close by singing God's praise. Again, recentering ourselves on the truth of who he is. If at the end you have further questions for Amelia, she'd be happy to chat to you. And if you want to come into this part of the building, we'll find people to pray with you. So let's lift our voices to praise the God who is always with us.